Today on More to Life, Lord Save Me. Sinking under the stormy seas of stress? Feel like you're drowning under the pressure? Let us help you recover your confidence and peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Lord Save Me. Sinking under the stormy seas of stress, feeling like you're drowning under the pressure. Well, we want to help you kick off the week by recovering your confidence and peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
That's the sound you need to hear and need to participate in on a Monday, isn't it? Because it's just, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, if you have a traditional week, there are many of us who have Mondays off because we work on weekends, but if you have a traditional week where you're off on Saturday and Sunday, we all know it. Monday can feel like you've been shot out of a cannon. It can make you feel like, you know, the whole world is ahead of you and you're just being trampled as everybody runs ahead of you. It can bring all of those concerns that you've had in the back of your mind to the front of your mind. And sometimes it's not just a Monday. Those things can be with us every day, all day, when we're going through stressful relationships, stressful life issues, health problems, relationship problems, economic problems, problems with the kids, problems with .. you name it. And there can be things that truly affect us. But let us remember who we are and when we are. You know, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us this weekend, as it is every day. We walk in God's love and God's mercy. If you are practicing Catholic, you receive communion and you walk with God within you, in His body, blood, soul, and divinity. You have strengths and peace that you don't often think you have, but when you switch your mind over to those things, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are walking with you, are there for you, and want you to be receptive to them so that they can guide you on the next steps on your path, so they can give you their peace. Things can begin to change, and then those very practical solutions can start coming into your mind, coming into your life, and you begin to walk those steps toward greater peace and real solutions in your life.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you facing a problem in your life or relationships that's stressing you out? Yeah. Maybe you're facing an unexpected situation or experiencing conflict with somebody that you care about. Maybe you're struggling to make everyone happy in a particular situation, or you're just feeling pulled in too many directions. Like, The reality is that stress affects all of us. We want to help you find the grace-filled solutions that will help you reclaim your peace and feel more confident moving forward. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that exactly, that highfalutin theology thing you're talking about? And how could it possibly help me deal with stress more effectively? Well, I'm glad you asked. So, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that to cooperate with God's grace and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit most clearly, we need to be in a state of receptivity. But that takes practice. When we're stressed, either in general or because of a particular problem, our cortex, which is the thinking part of our brains, just tends to shut right down. And our limbic system, which is our feelings and our reactive brain, just takes over. And when that happens, instead of being able to turn to God, discern His will, and make plans that let us cooperate with His grace, we tend to run around trying to get control of all the upsetting, challenging, and frustrating situations going on around us. And the more we do this, the more reactive we become. And that means we tend to make choices that either make things worse or keep us stuck in that stressed out state.
Well, that's right. And in order to break out of that trap, we need to learn to step back from the stressful situations long enough to be able to turn inward, calm ourselves down, bring the situation to God, and then listen to what He's saying to us so we can identify the next steps toward a grace-filled solution. And the fact is that takes practice, but it isn't necessarily as hard as you might think. So step one is, of course, to remember to do it, to fight the urge to keep trying to do all the things that pop into your head and trying to fix things on your own. Step two, we need to slow down. Intentionally act and speak a little slower as a way of bringing down our emotional temperature. Third, we need to say to God, Lord, I've got a lot of feelings about this, but help me listen to Your voice. Teach me how to respond to this challenge in a way that will help me be my best self and work for the ultimate good of everybody involved. And finally, step four, don't try to solve the whole problem at once. Just work on identifying the next step that will allow you to be your best self and challenge the people around you to be their best selves too. Then take whatever happens back to God and walk through that process again to identify the next step. These steps let us cooperate with the design of our brain to be receptive to God's grace rather than reactive to the situation, as Lisa was talking about. And when we can do that, we can discover His will in the face of any challenge. Now, it sounds pretty straightforward when I just kind of walk through it that way, but where it gets complicated, of course, is applying it to your particular challenges. So if you are facing a problem in your life or relationships that's stressing you out, maybe you're expecting, or rather dealing with an unexpected situation, or experiencing a conflict with somebody that you care about, or maybe you're trying to make everybody happy and failing miserably, or just feeling pulled in a million different directions. Whatever is causing you to feel stressed, we want to help you find grace-filled solutions that enable you to reclaim your peace and confidence. So give us a call. The number again, 877-573-7825. The show today titled Lord Save Me, as we talk about those times when we feel like we're sinking under the stormy seas of stress and we feel like we're drowning under the pressure. We want to help you recover your confidence and peace. Again, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to You, and we ask for Your blessing on this week ahead, and we ask that You would give us the grace that we need to respond to all the stressful challenges that we are facing now and will be facing in the coming days. Help us to remember, as Your servant St. John Paul taught, to be receptive rather than reactive to all the challenges we face. That rather than running around trying to fix everything by ourselves, help us in the face of stress to step back, to take that breath, to ask You for Your grace and blessing and insights and wisdom so that we can discern Your will and identify the next step and the next step after that, and the next step after that, instead of trying to solve all of our problems at once. Help us to attend to your Holy Spirit that you so generously give to all of us, so that we can hear your voice, know your will, and follow your plan in the face of all the stressful experiences we're encountering. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show, again, is titled, Lord, Save Me. We're talking about those times when we feel like we're sinking under the stormy seas of stress. And if you feel like you're drowning under the pressure, we're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question here that came in from Amy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. And I think it relates, you know, a lot of people are going to relate to this time of year. She said, my last child is going off to college in August. I've been a stay-at-home homeschooling mom for over 25 years, and I don't know how to manage this challenge or what I should do next. I know I don't want to just be home crying all the time. My husband deserves better than that, too. How should I figure all of this out? And that's Amy in Michigan.
All right, Amy, thank you so much for the question. You know,
I think that this is really something that most moms go through when the last child leaves, or both parents, truly. It really happens to both parents. The moms, especially if you're a homeschooling mom like you have been, Amy, it hits a lot harder, you know, because you're not just saying, oh, my last one is walking out the door. You're saying, and I'm retiring at the same exact time. You know, I was talking to Rachel Watkins, who does a segment with us every Friday, and she was the homeschooling mom of 11 children, and her youngest just graduated a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that all 11 of her children did from all over the country, because they're scattered fairly widely, is they sent her, either they were there in person or they sent her videos thanking her for homeschooling all of them and what their favorite memories of growing up with her and being homeschooled by her were. And it was very edifying to her, but it was also very pointed that, and you're done. And there's the idea of that's a bit of a relief. And then as you're saying, Amy, there's that staring into the void. So I would encourage you to, first of all, take all of this to prayer, and also with your husband, take it to prayer. Really let him know this is where you're at, and you need his prayer support, and you'd like to talk about what you both want the next years of your life to look like. But I would encourage you to do this. You really want to focus on what's good for your soul, your mind, and your body. And your relationships. So those four areas, soul, mind, body, relationships. And come up with, write it down, just brainstorm, things that you would like to work on in each of those categories. And really, when you're even like thinking about the mind part, you've been homeschooling other people for all these years. Well, what do you want to learn now? What do you want to be reading about? What do you want to do to keep your brain stimulated now that you've probably been through every grade, kindergarten through high school, over and over again? What is it? And you can do that by signing up for classes or just reading about it or, you know, taking things online or just watching YouTube videos. But your mind, you want to concentrate very much on your soul and getting your prayer life back fully without having to worry about how the kids are behaving in Mass or to add adoration. Really ask the Lord what he's leading you into spiritually. How about for your body? Can you get out for more exercise now when you don't have to worry about what the kids will and won't eat? What do you want to be eating? And especially those relationships. You know, this is where you really want to say, how do we reignite our marriage? We've kind of put it on the back burner in some way, shape, or form, little or big, for all of these years of child rearing. What do we want to do that's fun together? What do we want to do that helps us get to know each other better? And what relationships do we need to focus on or want to focus on with our friends that maybe we haven't been able to because there was always some game to go to or somebody to drive somebody somewhere? if you really break it down into those four components and start having little baby steps toward, this is who I want to be. This is who God's calling me to be now that this part of what he's called me to be is shifting away from the tenseness of every single day. The last little tip I'm going to give you, and this was my husband's brilliance, is when our last one went off to college last year, he didn't want either one of us to drop her off at school, come back into an empty house, and just kind of have it hit us. So he found a lovely city, very close to, you know, driving distance from where we dropped her off at school. He got hotel reservations, he planned some things in the city, and we went and just had a joyful, wonderful time taking our mind off the shift and the perceived loss and kind of jump-starting into it. So if that's something that's in your budget, or even if you can do it as an at-home thing, but you plan lovely things ahead of time, right after she goes off or he goes off to school in August, that will really help set the tone well for you both.
Yeah, Amy, I think that Lisa really covered all the bases, and this is something that we have gone through recently, as she just said, and so I think that by following the steps that she just laid out, you're going to be in good shape. And look, it's always a little nerve-wracking, but I think that if you're able to really step back and look at those categories that Lisa was just describing, I think you'll be in good shape. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or at CatholicCounselors.com, but we've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list as well. Thanks for the question, Amy. With that, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about stress today. So what are the problems that are stressing you out in your life or relationships? We want to help you find grace-filled solutions to help you reclaim your peace and confidence as you respond to the stressful events of the coming days. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, and he'll be sharing some insights that he shares with his clients about managing stressful situations. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, Lord, Save Me. So we talk about those times we feel like we're sinking under the stormy seas of stress or drowning under the pressure. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and confidence. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He is an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here, as always.
So, you know, you were listening to us talk about the four steps that we outlined in our Theology of the Body reflection for cultivating more receptivity and responding to stress, but you wanted to add a fifth step, actually, which is about cultivating empathy. How does cultivating empathy help us manage stress more effectively?
Well, I want to start off by reemphasizing, I think those four steps that you guys put down are incredible, and understanding how our brains work and why we so often kind of shut down and go into this sort of weird, confused autopilot thing, just understanding how the mechanics of that work are so fundamental for being able to kind of transcend that and do better. And that's very much the spirit with which I introduce this empathy point. When I am in that shut down place where, you know, my higher brain is just turned off, and I'm going kind of into survival mode, and I'm reacting and not really, you know, engaging the way I'd like to be engaging, or as calmly, or as in as regulated a way as I'd like to be, one of the first things that does shut off is empathy. And some people, you know, struggle with this word empathy. We think it means some people think it means, you know, just sympathy, feeling bad for somebody else, right? Some people think it means enabling, right? I've had a client say to me, oh, I can't empathize with so-and-so because then they'll just get their way every time, right? Mm. You know, empathy is not any of those things. Empathy is the ability to kind of place yourself in the emotional experience of the other person enough that you can root for them too. Right? And so in these moments where I'm my higher brain is completely shutting off and I'm getting flooded, one of the first things to go is empathy. I'm becoming disconnected from what's actually going on, and I'm starting to respond only to kind of those weirder things I'm inferring in my head. There's a disconnect between my kind of interior emotional perspective and the sort of lived reality of what's going on around me. And I find that in a very practical, concrete way, this can maybe sound a little abstract, but in a very concrete way, if I can center myself on the emotions of the other person, if in that moment where I'm feeling flooded, I can say, all right, hold on. What is it a person across from me actually feeling? Not just what they're saying to me, not just what they're showing. What are they feeling right now? It's going to do two things. One, it is actually going to make me a more effective communicator with them, because suddenly I'm not just lost in my head. I'm actually paying attention to the human being that's really in front of me, and they feel heard and they feel understood. So hopefully they're starting to slow down and become a little more regulated too. But also the mere tactic, the mere attempt to step outside of myself. You know, Pope Benedict XVI wrote about this all the time, right? The need to turn outward towards the other actually begins to re-regulate my entire nervous system, because suddenly I'm not turned inward in danger survival mode. Suddenly I'm turned outward towards the other person, genuinely observing them, almost sort of using their emotions as a life preserver for myself and the flood of my own feelings. By taking care of them, I get pulled out of myself, and everybody wins.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about this and how empathy can rewire our brains, because the reality is there's a lot of research that talks about how anxiety isn't the result of problems as much as it is the result of feeling disconnected from the people around us, right? Because, of course, you know, if I'm walking through the woods, you know, and by myself, I got to worry about being attacked by a, you know, lion or whatever. Strange woods I got. But but if I'm walking with my tribe, you know, then I know that other people have my back. I don't have to be quite as heightened awareness, you know. And the same thing is true in life, where if I feel connected to others but I'm dealing with problems, I will more likely have less stress or anxiety than even if I was going through a good time on my own and feeling disconnected from everybody around me. Anxiety tends to come from that. And so what you're really talking about here is, you know, the cultivating that connection that allows us to feel you know, connected to other the people around us who can help us then manage the stress more effectively.
This might be a little bit too spiritual, mystical for, you know, 10:26 on a Monday morning, but the great Catholic mystic Hans Urs von Balthasar used to say that when man fell, right, the sin in the garden, when man fell, the hand was cut off from the body and began to disintegrate within itself, right? So he talks about how we're not just separated from God in sin, that we ultimately disintegrate, we separate from each other. And I think that's the spiritual connection to what you're saying psychologically there. The goal of grace is to reunite us not only with God, but with one another. And in a very concrete, very day-in and day-out way, I can do that work of grace by focusing intently on the emotions of the person to make myself, as you're saying, feel more accompanied, more connected, close to other people as I'm walking through the woods of life, and we can all take care of each other.
Jacob, that's a great note to go out on. Thank you so much for those insights. Really helpful, and I think a different perspective than a lot of people have about managing stress. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, we are taking your calls right now on our show titled, Lord Save Me. We're talking about those times when we feel like we're sinking under the stormy seas of stress or drowning under the pressure. The fact is, all of us feel stressed out from time to time, or maybe all the time in some cases. We want to help you recover your confidence and peace and find grace-filled solutions to the challenges that are weighing heavily on your mind. Give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
What are the important elements to prayer? In order to pray, says the Catholic Catechism, one must have the will to pray. It is not enough to know what Scripture reveals about prayer. We must learn how to pray. Through sacred tradition in a believing and praying church, the Holy Spirit teaches the children of God how to pray. The Catechism tells us that prayer is one of the several wellsprings where Christ awaits us to enable us to drink of the Holy Spirit. The Church exhorts all the faithful to acquire a surpassing knowledge of Christ through the reading of divine Scripture. Prayer should always accompany such reading in order that a dialogue may take place between God and man. We speak to Him when we pray. He speaks to us when we read the divine oracles. Seek in reading, say spiritual writers, and you will find in meditating. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Lord, save me! Are you sinking under the stormy seas of stress? Maybe you feel like you're drowning under the pressure of it all. Whether it's a particular problem that you're facing in your life or relationships, or just that you're being pulled in a million different directions, or trying to make everybody happy and failing miserably at it, whatever it is, we want to help you face those stressful things gracefully and find the peace and confidence you need. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mona, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Mona, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, we're talking about stress, and that's my life. So I wanted to call in. I got married in 2022, and in 2023, my husband had 2 cardiac arrests, and he survived with a lot of good care and tons of prayers. But he was left with a significant brain injury because he didn't have enough oxygen going through his body when his heart stopped.
Sure.
So he went from being a literal genius, having worked at the Kennedy Space Center for a long time, and then
he told our screener he literally was a rocket scientist. Yeah, okay.
He was a rocket scientist, and then he taught aerospace at college level, and now he can no longer work. He's very unhappy about that. Because his judgment is impaired. I had to change his phone number and call the police and everything else because the scammers got hold of him and he let go of $14,000 there. And then the banks caught another scammer trying to debit a lot of money for Bitcoin out of our bank account. To top it all off, when I was doing the taxes, I discovered a very large amount taken out of one of the accounts that I normally don't see because it was just his. And it turned out that his family took advantage of him while he was ill. Quite ill.
Oh, so
my goodness.
So we were out another $30,000.
Simona, in the face of all of this, how can we help you? What are you looking for from us today?
Well, I've been so upset with the big change in our lives, and so soon after we got married, and all that, and then having married into a family that is not loving toward him at all, and he's been nothing but helpful to them. But on top of all that, I'm so, I sang in the church choir, I quit. I don't even want to go to Mass. I don't want to do anything. I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm discouraged.
Are you getting any kind of help for your with your husband's care?
I do have a Catholic counselor that we've been going to that's been helping with the transition for the past year, she's been helpful just to try to get him to see that he needed to rely on my judgment for a lot of things.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're getting that support. What about practical support in terms of you know, getting being able to get respite care, to be able to step away for a little bit to do things you need to do to take care of yourself?
I step away. I changed his phone number, so right now the scammers haven't found him yet, and I have to monitor everything. I get some help from my daughter. And my son-in-law, they come over and do things like mow the lawn and fix things that I can't fix. And that's very helpful.
Does your husband need much physical care?
He does. He's a very large man. He has to walk with a cane now. And he has to be told to shower. He has to be told, you know, to brush his teeth. Okay. To take his pills because
so the reason I'm asking that is because that is wearing a lot too, you know. So you're describing feeling exhausted and feeling like you don't want to even go to Mass or you quit the choir, those kinds of things that you've done in historically to take care of yourself. I'm glad that you're receiving some faithful pastoral counseling. That's a really important part of managing any kinds of major life transitions like this. But I'd like to see you get some practical help with the support, you know, helping your husband manage some of those activities of daily living and other you know, aspects of his care. I would really encourage you to reach out to a local home health agency to talk about what kind of help is available there. They can provide in-home, really everything from skilled nursing care to an LPN to social work visits to be able to connect you with additional resources to respite care, which allows you to go to choir practice, for example, or take some time to go to the grocery store without worrying that your husband is alone. You know, so I think being able to get that practical support is going to be a really important piece of making it through this. Because you can't be alone in dealing with this. And so that would be my next practical recommendation, in addition to continuing with the counseling, so that you can really look at what you need to do to take care of yourself through this. Because, you know, when someone we love is struggling with a health issue, you know, we want to kind of jettison everything to take care of them, and that's a beautiful impulse. Unfortunately, we need to remember that the caregiver needs to be taken care of too. Otherwise, the care starts to slip as we burn out. And so I just really want to encourage you to contact a local home health agency to talk about what they have available and what you could afford to do to get even a little bit, a couple of hours a week of professional support in the home, you know, helping your husband remember to take the shower, to take the basic activities of daily living, and get some time for yourself so that you can be there for him the way you'd like to. I realize this doesn't solve all of the problems, but as we talked about earlier, when we're dealing with stressful situations, especially big issues like this, there isn't one solution, and we tend to stress ourselves out by looking for that one solution. The best we can do is say, all right, what's the next step I can take? And then I'm going to reevaluate where am I at, what's working, what's not, and what's the next step after that, so that step by step you can discover what the new normal will be. But Mona, I want to thank you for reaching out to us here on the show. I'm really glad that you're receiving that pastoral counseling you talked about. I want you to add in this practical piece so that you can get the assistance you need in supporting your husband and with his daily activities of living. Thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you here, don't hesitate to reach out. We've added you to the More to Life prayer list as well, you and your husband. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about stress today on More to Life on our show titled, Lord Save Me. Do you feel like you're sinking under the stormy seas of stress? feeling like you're drowning under the pressure of whatever it is that you're having to face. Let's talk about identifying the next steps toward those grace-filled solutions you're seeking so that you can experience more peace and confidence. 877-573-7825. As we go to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm chapter 94, verse 19.
When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul.
That word consolations is a word that St. Ignatius of Loyola latched onto, and he talked about consolations being those thoughts or impulses or feelings that help us respond to challenges in a way that connect us more deeply with God's grace and God's presence and help us be more of the person God is calling us to be, as opposed to desolations, which are the temptations from the enemy, you know, the enemy whispering in our spiritual ear, pulling us away from God and pulling us away from the person God wants us to be. You know, the psalmist is really talking about the need to tune in to those consolations, those thoughts and feelings and impulses that enable us to respond to the challenges of life in a way that draws us closer to God and helps us to be more receptive to his grace and will, like we were talking about in our earlier reflection. So when you are feeling stressed out, one of the first things you need to do, instead of running around trying to get control of everything, is to stop and tune in to those consolations of the Holy Spirit, offering wisdom on how to respond to the challenges that you're facing in ways that help you connect to God, connect to the support of the people in your life, pause and reflect on what your next step should be and how you can gather those resources and make a plan so that those consolations can cheer your soul. And if you're struggling to do that, let's talk it out. We want to help. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This summer, take a vacation that lifts your spirit and soul. Join Corporate Travel for the annual Grand Getaway on beautiful Mackinac Island, August 3rd to the 5th. Experience historic Grand Hotel, powerful talks from Father Mike Schmitz, Steve Ray, Dr. Edward Sree, and Father Leo Padalinghug, plus live broadcasts with Teresa Tamio, daily mass, four-course dinners, and dancing. Faith, fellowship, and fun in one retreat. Only a few rooms remaining. Don't miss out.
Book this Ave Maria Radio trip now by checking the travel page on AveMariaRadio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we're talking about stress on our show titled Lord Save Me. If you feel like you're sinking under the stormy seas of stress, we want to help you find your footing again. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I have a 19-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. who last year started dating a boy that we saw red flags all over the place. She did not listen to us. She got pregnant. And she had a baby April 1st. Again, when she first started dating this boy, we saw red flags and reacted and said things to her accordingly. And this young man is incredibly controlling, and to the point where she has not spoken to a single friend in a year. He changed her phone number, even though we were paying for her phone. It was worth it to him to take on that bill, so that nobody could contact her.
Is he much older than her or same age?
He's only 2 years older than her. But he doesn't work. When I say it was worth it for him to take on the bill, she's the only one that works. She had lied to him back when they very, very first started dating, and he has told her that it is her fault he can't work because he can't trust her. And so I've been dealing with all of this for a year. The reason I'm calling is because, again, she had a baby on April 1st. They live within 10 miles of me. I don't know exactly where because I'm not allowed to know where they live.
Wow.
But I do know that it is very local. The only time I get to see her is when they need something. When she was pregnant, I was not going to let her not eat for both her health and the baby's health. So I would buy them groceries, and that was the only time I was allowed to see her.
And how did you get the groceries to her when you don't know where she lives?
Well, that's what I did, is I said I would not buy them groceries, that they would have to go and meet me at the grocery store. That's how I got to see
her.
Wow. As I would be able to see her as we were walking through the store. My current escalation in this is, at first, they had some very lame excuses as to why I couldn't see the baby. You know, he didn't have his shots and that kind of stuff. And the reason I say that's lame is I work for childcare, and so I have every shot that you can have. Mm-hmm. I am completely safe to be around all babies.
No, I understand. He's controlling, and this is a difficult situation. So have you not seen her since April then, or what?
I have gotten to see her twice in the last week. Both times, he drove her to where we met. But I was not allowed to even walk over to the car and look at the baby through the window. He says that it is a consequence for my previous behavior, and goes back to things that I said and did a year ago as to why I am being punished.
So were you able to see your daughter then? I mean, I understand you couldn't see, you can't see the baby, but were you able to visit with your daughter then, or how did that transpire?
Yes. Yeah, they needed diapers and wipes. And so yesterday we met at a neutral location, and she came over to my car and got the diapers and wipes out of my trunk and took them to her car.
And were you allowed to talk to each other at all?
We had a little bit of a conversation. I tried to bring up the fact that, he's holding things against me that are old from before we, because at the beginning of the year, we had she and I had a conversation, and I actually even had a conversation with him, and things were supposed to start new. And, since then I've really been trying to follow his rules.
What's she like when she when you do see her? What is she? How does she treat you? What's her reaction to you?
If I don't bring up anything negative about him, it's fine. You know, I got to spend some time with her last week because she needed a ride somewhere, and it was a road trip. And you know, she is so excited about the baby, and I mean, it was a wonderful time. She was very positive, and she was very loving, and I thought we had a good discussion, and then, you know, 2 days later, they asked for something, and I had to say no. And then the next time she asked for something, I asked her flat out, like, why wasn't I able to see the baby? Because when she got out of the car, I was and said I couldn't walk over to the car to even look at him through the window. I was just so shocked. I just didn't say anything. So I asked her, I'm like, why wasn't I able to see the baby? And she's like, it's not the right time. And then, you know, went on to, and this is all via text, you know, that that there are consequences and that I need to be held accountable for my actions for a set period of time. And when I asked what that set period of time was, it was until things change. But I don't know how things are ever going to change when he's still holding on to things that...
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, there's no way to directly change this. The only thing that you can really do is make the time that you spend with your daughter as pleasant as possible and as... you know, avoiding stressful topics as much as possible, because the goal here right now is building as much of a relationship with you, with her as you can, that feels quote unquote safe. And when I say that, what I mean is that she's not going to feel pressured at all to stand up to him. Because, that sounds counterintuitive, but the fact is, she's completely beholden to him at this point. And any attempt on your part to convince her to stand up to him or to, you know, let you see the baby or any of those kinds of things that would, you know, be felt by her to be somehow challenging in any way is going to be twisted by him into see there's Mary being manipulative again. In a situation like this, the best thing that you can do is be there for her in whatever ways that you can, like you've been doing, and avoid those difficult topics so that you build more rapport and build greater connection so that when she's eventually ready to say, Mom, I really need help dealing with this situation, I don't feel safe with him anymore, that she can come to you and talk to you about that.
That's what I want you to focus on the most, is becoming the safe place. Not necessarily jumping through all of his hoops, but figuring out how can I let her know that I'm not ostracizing her, that my heart and my home is open to her and the baby, that she will feel safe when she begins to deteriorate from this. Because at some point, she's going to begin to see the light of his manipulation, whether it's how he treats the baby or how he treats the baby, you know, in terms of her relationship with the baby. Something's going to start to crack. And she is going to need that safe place to land. And she needs to know that somebody other than this guy truly loves her. So don't ever make this about seeing the baby, as much as I completely understand that you want to. Because that's not going to feel loving to her. That's going to be pressure, and he's going to say, see, she just wants to love the baby, not you. Exactly. And he's going to use it against you.
You want to act like, for now, even though they're completely crazy, you want to act like these limits are perfectly reasonable and that it's up to them when they decide that it's okay to move to the next stage. And don't push it. Instead, just focus on being there as much as they will let you be there for her. And build that rapport so that you can maintain that connection. Because if you do push back in any way, what's going to happen, he's going to use that to further alienate her from you. Mm-hmm. And then she's got no one. And so this is a very, very difficult situation. I wouldn't normally be giving this kind of advice about, you know, being so accommodating to somebody like that guy. But in this case, that's your only chance of regaining your daughter at some point. I would really encourage you, Mary, to be in some kind of counseling. If you look for faithful responses to this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at Catholic Counselors, because this is an extraordinary situation that's going to require some extraordinary support to help you navigate these waters and not accidentally step on any more landmines. I'm so sorry that you guys are going through that. We've added you, your daughter, and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you, please don't hesitate to call us here or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But right now, focus on what we were saying in the call, to keep up building that relationship with your daughter and keep those lines open so that when she does come to her senses, she can reach out to you. Thank you so much for the call. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you are looking for faithful ways to respond to the stressors in your life and relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.